This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Fire.
That was the sound of a high-rise building being demolished. Leading the countdown was Doug Loazzo, who is joining us with his niece, Stacy Loazzo. They are two of the world's leading experts in the implosion of buildings. Their company, Controlled Demolition Incorporated, has brought down about 7,000 structures, including housing projects, Vegas hotels, the U.S. steel plant in Youngstown, Ohio, missile silos, mammoth gas tanks, and the remains of the bombed federal building in Oklahoma City. In the Guinness Book of Records, Controlled Demolition has several entries, including the tallest structure felled, that was the J.L. Hudson Department Store building in Detroit, the largest structure by volume ever felled, that was the King Dome in Seattle, and the tallest man-made structure demolished, that was the Annapolis Radio Tower in Greenberry Point. The Loazzos have demolished several obsolete high-rise housing projects. I asked them to describe the process of taking down one of them.
Okay, firstly, you must take a look at the structure itself and see if there are any structural plans available. You must look at the project site to see what adjacent exposures are around, that is, any other buildings or utilities that have to remain. Then you examine the structure and determine exactly what the key structural supports are, whether it be structural steel columns, reinforced concrete columns, whether it's shear wall, etc. Then you look at the area that you can fell the structure in, and you design the demolition work from that standpoint. However, it's more multifaceted than that. I mean, you're not only looking at bringing a building down, you're looking at the impact to the surrounding community. So you have to make a determination of what is in the area, how it will affect schools in the area, hospitals, adjacent properties, etc.
For anyone who has not seen a building come down, or, you know, not seen it in real life or on video, could you just describe what it looks like when you bring down a high-rise?
I think the most poignant thing about the visual aspect of what we do is that watching a structure come down or literally melt before your eyes frequently is very startling to people, which is why I think we continue to have spectators come to each and every shot, getting up at, you know, the crack of dawn, basically, to come see our work. Is that it's unsettling. It's unsettling to see a man-made structure, something that you've been taught to trust since your very early years, literally melting before your eyes. It's very fluid and very graceful. It almost appears to be slow motion a lot of times.
Yes, it does appear to be slow motion. Why is that? You know, you basically see the building coming down. It doesn't explode out. It doesn't explode up. It just falls straight down, and it appears to fall in slow motion. Why the slow motion?
Well, one thing that you have to realize is, and you hit it on the head, we are not blowing up a structure. Anything vertical to the horizon wants to fall due to gravity's effect on it. And we just use explosives as a catalyst to start that progressive collapse. So as you knock out the vertical supporting column, all columns of a structure, all of the potential energy is there waiting, you know, to become kinetic energy. And it just... Again, something that took 2 years to build may meet its demise in a matter of 10 or 15 seconds.
So why does it look like it's falling in slow motion?
Well, as the structure's failing, Terry, basically there's a lot of energy, as Doug just stated, that is being consumed or used or and actually released all at the same time. The building, it's not as if, I love to use this analogy, we're not picking up this building and dropping it, creating a tremendous amount of vibration. It's like picking up a 5-gallon bucket of sand and dropping it, and make a loud bang. But what we're doing is rather pouring the sand out onto the ground. This building is coming down in tiny, tiny little pieces at all different increments in time. So basically, the structure, as it's failing, is absorbing its own energy, which, so it's slowing itself down. You know, if we took that one piece of concrete, held it out in open air and dropped it, it would move a lot quicker because there'd be nothing slowing it down on its way. That's where you get the melting or the cascading look.
So what's slowing it down exactly?
The pieces of building that are moving in front of it are slowing it down. You understand? It's cushioning itself as it's failing.
I see. Now, instead of just like blowing up the whole building, what you're doing, the way I understand it, is blowing out one support at a time almost. You know, you have, like, what, small pieces of explosive attached to all of the, structural parts of the building, all the columns holding it up,
yes,
beams
so the
holding
columns,
it up?
The columns holding it up. And basically what you're doing is you have small strategically placed explosive charges throughout the structure. And you're knocking out the supporting members of a structure sequentially. So you can utilize the weight and the construction of the building really to pull itself down.
And that's why sometimes the building seems to collapse horizontally, in the sense that first the part on the left collapses, and then in a slow rhythmic way it moves from left to right, collapsing on top of itself.
Right. Depending on the structure itself, and previously I mentioned that you have to take into consideration the adjacent structures around it to remain. Depending on the construction of the building, you can really get a building to dance by knocking out certain columns first and then utilizing the construction of the building. It's example, if you're standing up and I want you to fall to the right-hand side, I knock out your right leg first and you would tilt that way. Basically, that's what we're doing.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Doug and Stacy Loazzo of Controlled Demolition Incorporated, and this is a company that does implosions. They bring down buildings, high-rises, Vegas resort casinos, the Alfred Murrah Federal Building after it needed to be taken down after the bombing. Your work has sometimes been compared to performance art because it's just so spectacular to watch. And I think the greatest example of that was the Dunes, the hotel in Las Vegas, which you brought down, but in a quite spectacular way. You had fireworks. You had fire coming out of the windows. Why don't you describe the kind of show that you put on when bringing down the Dunes?
Actually, Terry, that was a very interesting project for me. I was 22 years old at the time, and my father, Mark, Doug's brother, has always firmly believed in trial by fire, I think, or throwing us into the deep end to see if we could swim. And so he put me on that project as project manager at a fairly tender age in what I would call a pool of sharks. I was pretty much dealing with, in terms of adjacent property owners, instead of residents, I was dealing with boards of attorneys that owned Caesars and Bally's and, the Flamingo Hilton. It was quite a political hornet's nest, to put it mildly. And on top of that, my client was Steve Wynn, who may quite possibly be the most demanding in terms of quality and performance on the face of the earth. And Steve and I actually got to be buddies, which was a good thing. We used to go to a lot of dinners, and he told me that he wanted to create a show, an extravaganza, if you will, that could not be duplicated, could not be topped. So he and I sat long and hard and thought about how we could create a visual effect while also achieving the ultimate goal of putting the building on the ground that would not be soon forgotten by anyone who saw it. So after much deliberation, we decided to import some friends of mine from Hollywood, who are special effects gurus, and working with them, we implemented and orchestrated a 40-second pyrotechnic sequence that led up to the implosion of the building. But prior to that pyrotechnic sequence, we had the Gerucci family out of New York put on a 6-minute finale fireworks display. So all in all, you ended up with about 8 minutes of incredible visual effects going off, including the 6 minutes of fireworks, 40 seconds of what we call a white brilliant strobe diaphragm bomb going off inside the building. We used 256 gallons of aviation fuel, blowing out each window on every other floor of the building to create sort of a towering inferno look. And truthfully, far and away the most spectacular thing I've ever worked on, and I don't think it has been topped, and I'm not certain that it will be.
Well, I watched it on video. And I was thinking, as the flames started blowing out the windows, what if the whole thing catches fire and the fire spreads? Isn't this dangerous?
Well, by the time we get to a building, Terry, it's been what we call soft stripped. That means that all the combustible materials have been removed. More often than not, this is done not because of a fire hazard, but because when the client who is ultimately removing the debris, instead of having to segregate it once it's on the ground and separate the concrete from the wood, from the carpet, from the drywall, they take it out ahead of time. It makes their job a lot easier in the end. So by the time we get the building, typically, it's all concrete. Concrete doesn't like to burn. The only thing we had to worry about with the Dunes is that it did have a built-up roof on it. So we did have to be very careful about fire on the roof. And we actually did have a very small smolder after the shot, which was quickly put out by the fire department. But there wasn't much to burn inside the building.
Were you nervous before pushing the button?
Actually, I fortunately was not on the button. Steve Wynn was. And I was over off to the side running a camera. And I will admit that I was quite anxious. I don't think nervous is the right word, because there were no worries in terms of the project going successfully. I was just, after having spent, you know, over a month of my life devoted to the project, knowing that it was going to be over in less than a couple of minutes was, I don't know, it was exciting. You know, I was very anxious. I was ready for it to be over.
My guests are Stacy and Doug Luozzo. Their family's company, Control Demolition, specializes in bringing down large structures. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guests are Stacy and Doug Luozzo, and they're with Control Demolition Incorporated. The company was founded by Doug's father, Stacy's grandfather, and this is one of the best-known companies in the world for imploding buildings, for bringing buildings down when they're no longer being used. Now, in contrast to the spectacle, to the performance of bringing down the dunes in Vegas, you brought down the federal building in Oklahoma City after the bombing, when the building was so unsteady that you had to bring it down. Why bring it down with an implosion? Why not another alternative?
Well, that was a very interesting project. We were called out by GSA, General Services Administration, who owns the federal buildings. And this structure was extremely damaged. And we sat down and did an analysis of the building itself. And, you know, there are only a couple ways to bring a structure down. One is to debuild it, take it down by hand, just the way it was built. Another way is to mechanically demolish it, where you take a crane and a headache ball or a big excavator with an attachment and pull on the building and crush it up. The third way is to bring it down with explosives. Now, one of the problems with taking it down conventionally is the building was unsound. And there was a concern that if they started working on one side of the building, it was so damaged that it could start a progressive collapse and bring more people into harm's way, i.e. the demolition workers, etc. It was determined that explosives was probably the safest way to bring it down. But that really posed a problem, Terry, in that people thought it would traumatize the victims' families even more. I mean, here they lost loved ones through an explosion. And to bring a building down the same way, they thought would just compound that. But, you know, the decision was made that it was a lot safer and a lot faster. And it was, once we finished the project, I think it was looked upon as a catharsis because it was just taken care of so quickly. And the rebuilding and the healing could begin.
Was the building safe enough for your crew to go in?
It was safe enough for our crew to go in. You rely on the structural integrity of a building to pull itself down. Due to the blast, a lot of the structural integrity was gone. So we had to do reconstruction of the building to augment its structural integrity so we could pull it down away from adjacent properties. There was a parking garage touching the building right on the back that they wanted to try to save. We put a lot of shoring in the building to keep floors from collapsing, etc.
Did either of you go inside the federal building?
Yeah, I was there for about a month. Our first job was it was really in three parts. Our first project was to go in and to salvage a lot of things, i.e., you know, critical documents. You had FBI offices, you had ATF offices. They didn't want the building demolished and have a lot of paperwork flying around, you know, downtown Oklahoma City. We also had to go in and get some personal effects off the desks, which was rather trying. Our next phase, while the decision was being made on what methodology to bring the building down, was to go in and we salvaged a lot of the granite interior of the building and portions of the structure that were not damaged. And a lot of this was subsequently used in the memorial. The third phase was going back in and preparing it for demolition.
What did it look like inside?
Just an absolute mess. Like a bomb went off. It was There was a lot of shoring that was put up, as I previously mentioned, so the search and rescue teams could get in and operate. It was just horrible, to tell you the truth. One thing that was troublesome and interesting about the project is they had not recovered all the bodies out of the building when we had to do our demolition. They had excavated a lot of the debris, and we, along with structural engineers, determined that the debris pile was holding up a portion of the building. And to excavate it anymore would really, put people in harm's way. So we met with the families of the victims who were still in the pile of debris. We painted the debris pile orange and covered it with a fabric and dropped the structure on top of that. So when they took the debris away and found, you know, saw the fabric and saw the orange-colored debris, they would know to start sifting through by hand to get any remains.
Did they find the remains?
Yes. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that must have been very creepy to bring down a building on top of the remains of three bodies that everybody knew was there.
Right. But we've done it before. You know, I worked in Mexico City in the 80s after the big earthquake there for the government, and there were bodies in those buildings, and then we've worked after disasters, construction failures, etc. So it's just part of the business, I guess.
I imagine making sure that an imploding building isn't damaging the buildings around it is one of the biggest concerns that you have, you know, as out of protecting human life. How close have other buildings been to buildings that you've brought down? What's the closest you've had to work with?
We've taken down buildings touching other buildings to remain. Usually, you need enough room. If you take a building, and Stacy was saying before, you know, with her analogy of the bucket of sand, if you drop a structure, the debris goes, it seeks its natural angle of repose. You have a one-to-one slope of the debris. So you really need enough area to accept the resultant material that you're generating from this. So it really depends on the type of structure that you're taking down. It depends on, you know, the construction, on what type of areas that you need. But, you know, with the litigious society in which we live and a concern for adjacent properties, there's always an independent third-party engineering company that goes in and does pre- and post-blast inspections of buildings. You also put seismographs out to measure any ground vibration or air blast generated by blasting to prove that, you know, you didn't do any damage.
On that same note, Terry, the truth of the matter is, as Doug mentioned, in our litigious society, people are opportunistic by nature. And we've had cases where, you know, folks 3 and 4 miles away from our demolition site claimed that we broke their window or, shifted their foundation. They're frivolous claims. So we really have to go to great lengths to protect ourselves.
You've both been in a lot of abandoned buildings over the years. What are some of the strangest things you found inside before imploding the buildings?
Corpses.
No. Well, actually, yes.
Yeah. Where?
There was a job in Puerto Rico we did where when our project manager went down to initially review the site, he was walking through with our client and they found a gentleman who had been executed gangland style. He'd been hung, had his throat cut, and was shot.
When we first started our business, or Mark and I first got into the business, most of the buildings that we took down were the Grand Dame hotels in cities, you know, that were built in the 20s and this and that. And whenever you were working on a project, you'd have people who would come up and they'd want the room key because that's where they spent their honeymoon 50 years ago. We were working in Australia one time and we were taking down a building that was a residence for nuns. And the Mother Superior came out and said, we're really happy to have this building taken down this way. Why is that? She said, well, it's better to have the structure bow out gracefully, so to say, than be hacked upon.
Have you ever had to evacuate homeless people who were squatting in buildings that you were about to bring down?
Well, by the time we actually get to the day of the implosion, we've already had 24-hour security on site, and it's very unlikely that anyone could get inside the building. We have had occasions where somebody, not a homeless person, but more often than not, some young kid who's been out partying all night has decided to try and get past security, get in the building, and they succeed occasionally. But as far as homeless goes, a lot of times if there are squatters that are inside an abandoned structure, they're removed long before we get on site.
Have you found a lot of wildlife in the abandoned buildings? Rats, mice, squirrels, bats, cats,
well,
dogs?
You know, again, we don't really come upon that much because usually before we get to a project, there's been a lot of demolition work. They've removed the asbestos out of these old structures. As far as rats and rodents are concerned, you know, there's no food there for them, and also they have to bait all the buildings ahead of time by code. You know, once in a while there's a concern that I know when we've taken down some large towers or tanks, concern about falcons being there, et cetera.
They've relocated them before. They've
yes.
actually had handlers come in and relocate, you know, peregrine falcons and things like that.
Doug and Stacy Luazzo will be back in the second half of the show. Their family's company is called Controlled Demolition Incorporated. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Doug and Stacy Luazzo. Their family's company, Controlled Demolition Incorporated, is internationally known for its work bringing down high-rise hotels and housing projects, missile silos, gas tanks, and bridges. Doug's father, who founded the company, coined the term implosion to describe his approach to demolishing structures. Some of your implosions have been filmed for movies like Lethal Weapon 3 and Enemy of the State. What happened? Did you talk with the film directors about what building you were going to bring down and ask them if they wanted it for the movie? I mean, how did you get together with the film director on that?
Well, for instance, on the Orlando City Hall project, which was filmed for Lethal Weapon 3, that was a job that was already under contract. Warner Brothers had contacted us and said that they were interested in filming a demolition sequence for a film, and we thought about the different projects we had on the board and which was the best candidate, and selected that project and negotiated from there. In other instances, however, for instance, on Enemy of the State, they called us first and said, we need a building that suits, that fits this description. And it was the warehouse, Gene Hackman's warehouse, that he had rigged to self-destruct in one of the later sequences in the film. And we perform, we have a sister company that's run by myself and my siblings called the Luazzo Group LLC, and we do just such services, location search. We broker the public relations for controlled demolition and handle the film archive and the still archive. So this was right up our alley. So we literally started making phone calls and found a structure that visually suited the production company's needs for the film.
And you just blew it up for the film?
Yep. It was. This is a structure. It was 5 stories tall, very squatty, as we would say. And it was not a candidate for implosion. This is something typically that would be conventionally demolished. In fact, it can also... It was not cost-effective at all from an implosion standpoint because of the amount of preparation it took to get the building to even move 20 feet because it was so short already. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. It carries a lot of truth in our industry. And this building was very small, required a lot of preparation to get it to move dramatically. So this building never would have been wrecked had it not been for a film involvement but via implosion.
On another case was Demolition Man, the movie with Sandra Bullock and... Stallone and Wesley Snipes, and Warner Brothers came to us, and they had a building in Los Angeles. It was the Department of Public Works building. And, you know, they showed us a storyboard and said, okay, this is the effect that we want. We want the whole front of the building to look like it's bombed out. So we went in there with crews and jackhammered severance lines through the building and put shoring up. So when we blasted a portion of this, I think it was only a 4-story building. It came down and it looked like a bombed out structure. So, you know, we can deal with the studios in, you know, a multitude of ways.
Mm-hmm. Now, do the filmmakers want either their actors or stuntmen to appear as if they were running out of the building as it was exploding?
Yes. The answer there is yes.
Mel Gibson ran out of, and Danny Glover ran out of the building.
In one scene of Lethal Weapon 3, here is the interesting part on that show. It's the first time we'd worked with Dick Donner and Joel Silver, and they didn't trust us. That's okay. We understand that they've got one shot, you know, and if they didn't get this one shot, it was, you know, a big waste of money and time for them. So they didn't believe that we were going to do exactly what we said we were going to do, so they decided to blow the face of the building out twice ahead of time and get that much in the can at least. Then they'd repaint the whole face, put all the glass back in. You know, so there's no structural demolition charges going off. It was just balsa wood and candy glass and fire. So after doing this twice, and they were satisfied that they'd gotten this in the can, and on those two occasions, they had Mel and Danny actually running from the structure. They were very close. And that was fine with us because this is very light debris. They can't, you know, and it's not structural demolition charges. Well, when it came down to the real shot, Joel Silver, being a huge fan of realism, said, no, that I want them in frame. I don't want this to be stunt guys. And we said, well, here's what we'll do. We helped set up a car in front of the building and put Lexan, or, you know, similar to plexiglass, on the other side. And they did, during the initial special effects sequence, run, jump over the roof of the car, and hide. But it was a full 3 seconds before any demolition charges went off. So the realism was achieved, but, you know, we are not going to let anyone put themselves in harm's way. Certainly not and someone inexperienced. You know, had it been a stunt person, we would have had more latitude. But, you know, Mel Gibson and Danny Glover aren't stunt people. They're actors. And we weren't going to let them do anything that we perceived as dangerous.
So did you make sure that they were out of harm's way before actually pushing the button?
Yes. We had a person physically stationed with them that was in a position to say stop if they were not in position before the button was pressed.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Stacy and Doug Luozzo, and they're with Control Demolition Incorporated, which is an implosion company. This is a company that brings down large abandoned buildings, from resort hotels to the federal building in Oklahoma City. The company was founded by Doug's father, Stacy's grandfather. Doug, your father died last year at the age
yes.
of 85. He right. started the company, and I believe he also just invented the idea of implosion.
Well, a lot of people look at my father, and he's received international awards as being the pioneer for, you know, really developing the use of explosives in urban areas to fill structures. Albeit, I mean, that had been going on for years after the Second World War, et cetera. But Dad and my mother was very instrumental in that also. They were really involved starting in the late 40s into developing this. Dad was a graduate forester from University of Georgia and had used explosives in rock blasting, blasting stumps, blasting other things, and was approached one time to take down a chimney. And, you know, I just sat back and thought, he said, well, you know, it's a cylindrical structure. It's like a tree. All you have to do is notch it at the base in the direction of fall and let gravity take effect. So I think that's where it all began in 1947. I think his first buildings that he took down were in the early 50s in Washington, D.C., right next to the State Department. And a lot of it back then was trial and error.
Was there a lot of error?
No, I don't think there was that much error. But, you know, he had his share of structures that didn't fall down, you know, and he had to go back in later. But again, I said my mother was involved. A lot of what she did was from a public relations aspect. Again, allaying the innate fears that people had about explosives. You know, some young guy comes in and says, yeah, I can blow up your building, you know, 5 feet away from another structure. And if you've never seen it, we are doubting Thomas's. If you've never seen it done and you don't have a track record, a lot of people won't let that happen. But Dad really got into it. I think that it really started taking off in the late 60s when my brother Mark got directly involved with the company. The first major projects he did were in Atlantic City when they were trying to pass the gambling referendum there. Those were the big buildings that he took down. And then with the destruction of housing projects. And, of course, you know, we're based in Baltimore, so he did a lot of industrial work in the Rust Belt, taking down steel mills, et cetera.
What was it like to watch as kids when your father was bringing down buildings?
It was kind of cool, except Mark and I were the only sons, so we had to be the laborers. But, no, it was interesting. And it was interesting. I didn't appreciate it then, but in retrospect, you know, just watching, you know, Dad calculate what he was going to do, and, you know, he's a man of faith, watching him pray for guidance on how to do this. And, you know, learning, keeping very good records of lessons learned on each project. You know, what we do is, a lot of people say it's as much an art form as it is an engineering function. And I think that may be true in a lot of ways. We rely a lot on historical data that's been gleaned over 50 years.
Doug, do you pray before an implosion like your father did?
Of course you do. Yes. Yeah, we all do. You know, we're relying on something that's natural. We're relying on gravity. You know, we need all the help we can get, I guess.
And, Stacy, you got to see implosions as a child. What was the experience like for you?
You know, that's such a common question, Terry, but the business, the industry, it was so well established by the time that I became, you know, really cognizant of what we did for a living, that it seemed perfectly normal to me. I never knew anything else. I started working with I started traveling when I was an infant, not by choice, but I started working with my dad when I was, you know, a little guy, and I started traveling with him at about 15. Worked every summer in the office from about 15 on. You know, took a break after school and kind of did my own thing for a while. And I think that's when it really hit me. Wait a minute, I'm walking away from one of the neatest jobs on the planet, pretty much. You know, it's very few people that can say that they are the best in the world at what they do. And, you know, it's a privilege and an honor to say I'm related to them. I just really like to go into work every day. I love spending time with my family and traveling with them, and it's just, I can't imagine a better job.
Having destroyed so many buildings, has it left you with any strong feelings about architecture and what works and what doesn't? You know, what are your conclusions about the lessons we should learn about architecture?
I don't think we very frequently run into structures that we would call, you know, that we would say are shoddily constructed. I mean, certainly there are a handful here and there, but I mean, most structures have a very unique design. You know, architects are very much artisans, and you know, you see a lot of their soul in their work. So I think because structures are so unique, there's really no cookie cutter design. I mean, housing projects would be the closest, I would say, to being sort of a cookie cutter type of construction. And it not that there's anything wrong with it, but it's not designed for, you know, to last 100 years. It just wasn't made for it.
Right. That's another thing. I think when the first high-rises were built in the late 1800s, early 1900s, architects and builders viewed these as their monuments that would last forever. And now that we've, you know, come full circle, especially with the newer structures, you're seeing that buildings are designed for life expectancy. You know, at one time, Terry, I thought I'd never take a structure down younger than I was, but now most of them are younger than we are.
Really?
And yes, with rising real estate prices, you know, in resort areas where the square footage price is so high of land, of course they want to tear down something that's shorter and go higher, so they can get the best bang for their buck, let us say. So you're really seeing the life expectancy built in, you know, with like a 30-year turnaround in buildings, et cetera.
I was going to say, I'm only 30, and I've taken down a building that was younger than I am.
Right.
So,
you know, and we're seeing it. A lot of the work that we're doing now, Terry, is in the sports venue. I mean, we've taken down a lot of stadiums recently. Seattle Kingdom, Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh. We took down Market Square Arena in Indianapolis. And here, these structures are 30 years old. And a lot of times they're structurally sound. In most cases, they're still structurally sound. However, they don't meet the needs of the owners of where sports are today.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for talking with us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Doug and Stacy Luozzo's family company, Controlled Demolition Incorporated, is located in Maryland. This is Fresh Air.